Welcome to the Jed Breaks Bread podcast. I am Pastor Jonathan Edwards, but my nickname Jed has been with me for the last 15 years. My goal is to encourage believers to have an orthopraxy as strong as their orthodoxy, that Christ might be honored and glorified through our lives. Hello and welcome again to the Jed Breaks Bread podcast. It's been a little over a month since I've recorded and released a podcast. And part of that's due to the holidays. Part of it was due to getting ready for the Christmas Eve service and program that our church put on. Part of it was due to getting back in the normal swing of ministry and some unexpected ministry events that came up. But I'm happy to be able to be back with you. I'm happy to be able to share truth from God's Word, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you. When we left off at episode 10, we were discussing the biblical method of the rod, which is one of the two means that God has given to parents in order to facilitate the training of their children. You recall that the first method that God has given is biblical communication. That's a deep and rich communication which is based on the Word of God. It's not dad's ideas about life or mom's ideas about life. It's God's ideas about life and God's perspective on life that mom and dad are to faithfully disseminate to their children. The tool that God has given to parents to help reinforce the communication, to help explain the benefits of obedience and the consequences of disobedience, is the tool of the rod. Now, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 says this, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." So the rod is an integral part of what parents use in the raising of children, in the shepherding of their hearts. And as we discussed last time, it's difficult from a human perspective to understand how using the rod can cause your child to have a greater respect for you, to understand biblical truth, to understand how the world works. But when the rod is used in its appropriate biblical way, it does all of those things. Now, that's something that I can't quite explain to you, but I can tell you this. God, who created man in his image, designed the rod for this very purpose, and he designed man to respond to the rod in this very way. So the faithful use of the rod, the biblical use of the rod, is something that parents must perform in order to be consistent in their obedience to God. I think that brings about some really legitimate and serious questions that must be answered from the text of Scripture. What is the rod? How should the rod be employed? What are the limitations of using the rod? I'd like to try to answer, to the best of my ability, some of those questions for you today. First, the rod is the loving, controlled, and timely use of physical punishment. Notice, it's loving, it's controlled, and it's timely. The rod has a purpose that is both positive and negative. The positive purpose is to underscore the importance of obedience to God. And the negative is to provide an example of the consequences of disobedience. So let's unpack these two statements here that make up the definition of what the rod is and how it should be used. When we talk about the rod being the loving, controlled, and timely use of physical punishment, we're not talking about something that you do out of anger in the heat of the moment. We're not talking about something that you do to get vengeance or to take vengeance upon your child. We're not talking about something that happens because you've had it up to your eyeballs and you just can't stand it anymore. The rod must always be used in a loving way. You say, how is a spanking on the child's rear end, how is that loving? It's loving because you are pointing out the consequences of disobedience. You see, the Bible teaches that there are a multitude of consequences that people suffer when they disobey. And children, from a very young age, need to learn that there are serious and grave consequences to disobedience. Now, the child who disobeys when you say, don't touch that, and suffers a spanking, the consequence of actually touching whatever it is he wasn't supposed to touch probably aren't too severe. But there are numerous things in the Bible that that God says, do not touch, and the consequences could be very, extremely severe. And so the purpose of the rod and the reason that the rod is loving is that it helps prevent disobedience by attaching a consequence to that particular action. One thing I think of that God says, do not touch, and there is a serious consequence for it in the scriptures, is your neighbor's wife or the adulteress, a prostitute. In the book of Proverbs in particular, chapter 5, chapter 7, chapter 6, Solomon talks about the dangers of going to a prostitute and the consequences that one will suffer for doing that. Now, that's God saying, do not touch. What if you're a person who's grown up your whole life and nobody's ever told you not to touch something? Nobody's ever set limits or boundaries for you. You won't realize what the consequences might be. You won't have a desire to obey. You'll have a desire to satisfy a sinful curiosity rather than a desire to obey because you've never been taught otherwise. You've never been shown the negative consequences of disobedience. So the rod is loving in that for a time it seems to be painful, but what it produces in obedience is peace and joy in a person's life when they obey God's rules and commands. Now the rod is controlled. It's not done haphazardly. It's not done in a manner that is out of anger or frustration. The rod must be controlled. You should be totally under control as a parent when you go to implement using the rod. And if you can't, then you should postpone your use of the rod. You should be able to tell your child, you're going to get one swat or two swats. Or because this is a serious offense and you've done it multiple times, you're going to get three swats. Your child should always know how many swats they're going to get. It shouldn't be, well, I'll start swatting until I feel like stopping. All right? So the rod must be loving, it must be controlled, and it must be timely. And that means that you use it at the appropriate time for the age of the child. Now, if you have an 18-month-old, you have to use the rod very quickly after the offense, so that the child can connect the disobedience to the rod. If you have an older child, like maybe a 5-year-old, you can wait 45 minutes or an hour or 2 hours even to use the rod because the child will remember in their mind, especially if you've been consistent in your use of the rod, the child will remember in their mind what the offense was and why they are having the rod used against them. And this really solves a problem for parents because one of the most common questions is, my child misbehaved at the restaurant or my child disobeyed at the grocery store. My child disobeyed when we were out in public and it didn't seem to be appropriate to use the rod. That's correct. It's not appropriate to use the rod in public. Even in the public of your house, in front of all the other children or sometimes in front of the other parent, it may not be appropriate to use the rod. So parents need to use the rod in a timely fashion. If you have a 5-year-old or a 4-year-old and they can remember something that happened an hour or 2 hours ago, and they misbehave at the grocery store, and you say, because you disobeyed at the grocery store, you are going to get a spanking when we get home. And then you, when you get home, follow up with the spanking and have a serious conversation about what they did to disobey, how God viewed their disobedience, how that disobedience should have resulted in their punishment, and the fact that you actually are punishing them for the disobedience. That timely use of the rod will go a long way towards preventing future disobedience in your children. Now, we ought to talk a little bit about practice, okay? Who should use the rod? That's a little bit about what the rod is, but who should use it? To me, my personal conviction, the way that I read and understand Scripture, is that the rod is for parents only. Proverbs says, discipline your son. Discipline your son. Not grandsons, not all the neighborhood kids, but discipline your son. I understand that in the culture we live in, there are extenuating circumstances that result in grandparents raising children. In that case, I would say grandma and grandpa are responsible to use the rod in the manner that God has prescribed in the Scriptures. I would suggest this, that whichever person or persons, mom and dad, if they're not biological mom and dad, if they have been granted responsibility by the governing authorities to raise a child, then that individual, or those individuals, excuse me, are responsible as believers to the Lord to use the methods that the Lord commands for the proper rearing of children. I do believe, however, very strongly, and this is my personal conviction, and I won't try to make you follow my personal conviction, but my personal conviction is that the rod ought to be used only by the primary caregivers of the child. If that's the biological mom and dad, that's who it is. If it's grandma and grandpa, that's who it is. If it's the adopted parents, that's who it is. But the rod is not a tool to be used by anyone who sees fit to use it against a child. Anyone who wants to use it against a child. You see, the rod, because of how God designed it, is a tool that helps to rescue the child from the folly of sin and foolishness that is bound up in his heart. But the rod, when used properly, comes in the context of all sorts of other relationships that are built between the child and the parent. So the parent who is using the rod occasionally to discipline their child is also the parent who is providing comfort when the child falls and hurts himself. It's the parent who is providing meals. It's the parent who is taking care of the physical needs of that child in a lot of ways, bathing them, getting them ready for school, dressing them, caring for the... And so the rod is just one small interaction that the parent has with the child. Now, that's in the context of, you know, all life with the parent and the child. The use of the rod is a very, very small percentage of that. Very small. But think about it. If the child goes to, let's say, just for example, grandma and grandpa's house for an hour or 2 hours, something like that, and they only have an hour or 2 hours to interact, and during that time, the grandparents use the rod, that becomes a much larger percentage of the time. Now, again, this is my personal conviction. If you study the Scriptures and come to another personal conviction, that's fine. You know, I'm all up for the debate on this, or to understand another perspective, to understand somebody else's conscience and how it works. But I think that parents need to be very, very careful and very deliberate in who they allow to use the rod on their child or how it is implemented. And I think that brings us to the precautions that parents must take when it comes to using the rod. And the first precaution is this: parents must remember that in using the rod, they themselves are under the authority of God as much as the child is under the authority of God. And so for the parent to use the rod, there should be some type of communication that happens with the child. Dad says this: son, I have to spank you. I have to use the rod against you, not because it's something that I want to do out of my own heart, but I have to do this because God has commanded that I use the rod to help drive foolishness out of your heart. God has commanded that I use the rod to help you learn how to obey. And so when you use the rod, you don't want the child to think that it's just your own invention. You want the child to understand that you're using the rod because you're following the authority who's over you. You see, that's the whole reason the child's getting disciplined anyways. The child is getting disciplined because they have not followed the authority. They have disobeyed the authority that God placed over them. So parents must remember that in using the rod, they are also under the authority of God. And parents will have to answer for abuses of the rod. And we'll talk about that in a few moments. The second precaution is this: parents must not divorce the use of the rod from biblical communication. So what I think happens often is parents become frustrated because of the disobedience. Parents become exasperated because they have allowed disobedience to fester and to be stirred up, and then it goes on and on and on. And when they actually get to the point of using the rod, they're so worked up and angry that they're not actually communicating with their child. They are just spanking their child. And so parents have to make absolutely sure that they practice biblical communication as they implement the use of the rod. So what that means, or what that might look like, is that you as a parent may have to spend 5 minutes with your three-year-old. You spend 5 minutes, and out of that 5 minutes, the actual spanking is like 10 seconds or less, 5 seconds maybe. But that whole 5 minute period of time is an explanation of you trying to show your child how they have disobeyed God, how they have violated the authority structures that God has placed on them, how the consequences of disobedience can be very negative for them. And then you talk to them about, I have to use this rod on you to teach you that obeying authority is important and that there are consequences to sin. It's not my choice to do this, but I'm under authority too. I have to obey God. And so therefore, I am going to give you this spanking. You're going to get two spankings this time, because last time you did the same thing, you only got one. It didn't seem like it was very effective. So today we're going to get two. That is how you use and integrate biblical communication with the rod. Now let's talk about how you should not use the rod, or misuses of the rod, if we could put it this way. One of the primary misuses of the rod is venting anger or frustration. You should never, never spank out of anger or frustration. Now, if you're a parent of small children, you've been there. You've already violated that. I violated that. And I catch myself at times when I become angry and I want to just explode or let my child know that, man, you've really gone out of line this time. I need to be careful. You need to be careful, because you don't want to have the rod be the tool of your venting of anger and frustration. If you are too angry to use the rod in a calm and controlled manner in conjunction or in coordination with real biblical communication, then you should wait. Just don't do it. Wait 10 minutes. Your child is not going to forget what happened. The situation is not going to pass by. The moment will not pass by. Wait 10 minutes. Wait until you can speak to your child in a calm manner. If you have to, you put the child up in their room and you go to your room and you wait the 10 minutes until you can calm down. Go to the Lord in prayer. Bring scripture to mind. Think about the truth of the Word of God and what do you really want to communicate and how do you want to communicate it to your child. We have to be very careful as believers to not define our anger or frustration according to the flesh. Too often we say, well, this was righteous anger. This was righteous anger. Well, okay. Was it really righteous anger? Who defines righteous anger? James 1:19 and 20 says, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I think we want to justify ourselves, and we think that our anger is righteous when perhaps it's actually not. But it's so easy in our own mind to justify our anger, to think that it's okay, to make it seem as if I've been so violated and so offended by the action of my child that it's proper for me to vent my anger and frustration through the use of the rod. That is a wicked position. That is a position that is taken, that the flesh takes. Our flesh, our unredeemed flesh, convinces us that that is true, but it's not. We want it to be true because it feels good. It's a position we take because it gratifies the flesh, not because it honors God. So we have to be very careful, very conscientious, not to be venting anger or frustration in our use of the rod. Also, the second abuse of the rod is this. The rod, or the biblical mandate to use the rod, is not a license to hit your children whenever you wish. It's not a license to hit them whenever you wish. Again, the reason it's not has to do with the fact that use of the rod must be connected with biblical communication. If you are not communicating biblically, but you are hitting your child, you are doing something that is abusive, not biblical discipline, not biblical communication, not pleasing to God. So God's mandate to use the rod does not give anyone the license to hit your child whenever you wish. Finally, the third misuse of the rod. The rod is not a means to retribution. Parents should not use the rod for retribution. What does that mean? It means paying back your child for something. Let's say your child disobeys in a very serious manner. They do something that's very serious. Well, the rod is not for retribution, for paying them back beyond the damage that they caused. The rod is for correction. The rod is for connecting one's disobedience to God's immediate consequences of sin. So the rod should not be something where you look at your child and say, boy, you really sinned this time. You just wait till I give you this set of spankings. It's going to be unlike any you've ever had. If you have that mentality when it comes to utilizing the rod, that is not the correct mentality to use the rod. You have crossed over into retribution, taking vengeance upon your child for what they've done rather than offering correction and helping them to see that their actions have consequences. The reality of this particular point means that your child might do something very, very sinful. But for you to use the rod correctly and biblically might seem from a human perspective like they didn't get what was really fair. They didn't get what was really just. But we have to remember that we need to look at this situation from God's perspective, not from our mere human perspective. If you think that your use of the rod did not fully pay or did not make the child fully pay for his sins of disobedience, you're correct. And you know what? You're acting just as God acts when you do that. Think about it like this. When you sin as a believer, as a parent, does God bring a full and immediate and complete judgment upon you for your sin? He doesn't. He looks at the cross of Calvary and says, you know what? Somebody paid for your sin. I'm extending grace to you. I'm extending mercy to you. We often don't receive the full consequences of our actions. We don't suffer the greatest extent of consequences that are possible. Why? Because God's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He may bring some consequences into our life. He may challenge us with difficult situations or trials or circumstances to cause us to try to repent from our sins. But we don't always receive a just sentence, a just penalty for the sins that we commit. And you need to think about that in terms of what your child does. If they sin and it seems in your mind that the spanking or the use of the rod is not great enough to pay for that particular sin, well, then you have the opportunity to act like God and display Christ-like character because you are forgiving more than you've been offended. You are forgiving more than you've been offended. You know what that does, I think? When children come to realize that, it really endears them to their parents. It also endears them to the Word of God. Because while God is a just God, while God will bring about judgment for unbelievers and for believers, God is also a God of great mercy, of great compassion, of great grace. And He doesn't give us everything that we deserve right away. Sometimes He never gives it to us. And so there are sins that we commit, and it seems as if we don't suffer the consequences of them. It seems as if God's not doing anything about them. He certainly takes note of them. In the case of believers, He's attributed them to the cross of Christ. In the case of unbelievers, they'll have to pay for them someday. But you know, if God gave us what we deserved every time we sinned, we wouldn't live very long. It'd be difficult to serve Him. Because we would all be put to death for our sins. So you think about that in the use of the rod. The rod is not a means of retribution. It's not something where you have to give your child a measure of punishment or a measure of discipline that is equal to the way that they've sinned. It should rather connect the consequences of disobedience with God's word and God's desire for them to live as a child or an individual under the appropriate authorities. Well, I hope that this discussion on the use of the rod has been beneficial to you. Again, it's not a full and exhaustive treatment of the subject, but it should be a place to start. It's a good foundation. And I think that as believers, we need to make sure that we are doing the word and not just listening to the word. And part of doing the word is doing it correctly and doing it in the manner that God prescribed. And my goal in reading, studying, and teaching is to faithfully interpret the word and then explain how the truth can be put to practice in everyday life, so that as we live and move and breathe and go about our days. We bring glory and honor to our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bless you as you seek to put His truth into practice.